Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. It's the 22nd. It's 2/22/22. Let me put it that way. A lot of twos in today's date. Welcome to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on 2/22/22. Okay. We got a nice show for you with good friends today, okay? Is it our friends from isit.org are here. Dean Graziano, who's their VP of Education, their Director of Education, Susan Gable, they're here with us a lot, okay? We're going to talk about some ideas to think about and use, all right, as we start to. I didn't realize it's only February, but as we start to sort of get into the end of the year thoughts, all right? It's just going to be interesting. We're going to give you some good ideas on ending and using these few months really, really strong with new videos, all right, and civics and all that sort of stuff. Again, all kinds of great free social studies civics resources at isit.org. And we're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. That's our home website for our Consortium for Equity and Access. Our magazine, Equity and Access, oddly enough called that, is over there. It's our online journal. Excellent issue this month. Thousands of people, if I may, are reading it, and we hope you do too. It's all free. Go over there, check it all out. All our podcasts are at ace-ed.org. A lot of great information we update all the time over there as well. And a link to our new website, which is called seltoday.org, obviously all about social emotional learning. If you go over there, you'll see our resource hall. You can click on the icons. All right, it'll open up with all kinds of great resources, etc. It's pretty cool. So check it all out at seltoday.org, ace-ed.org. You can write all this down, and also is it izzit.org. And that's the big focus for today. We got Susan and Dean here in Erie, Pennsylvania, the other side of the world. Okay, good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Larry. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. You guys getting snow or anything nuts today in Erie?
You know what? Yesterday and today we are in the 50s. It is glorious.
Yeah,
the snow is melting. It's all melting so that we can get ready for when the next round shows up.
Yeah, and our next round is coming here in Maine on Friday. We're supposed to get 8 to 12 or something. All right.
Ooh,
so, well, yeah, but the glacier, it's the same thing. It's going up to the 50s every day of the last couple of days, and the glacier on my front lawn is slowly moving backwards. Okay, so I can actually see some lawn, what they laughingly call lawn at this time of year, under the snow. Good morning, Dean. How are you, buddy?
Doing well, Larry. Yourself?
I'm okay. A little fuzzy, what's the word I'm looking for? A little nasally today. I don't know if you can hear that in my voice. Okay, but I'm trying here. Yes, thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. Okay, let's start with Susan, your director of education. Is it? I love what you guys do. And just give everybody the generic. What is, if I may, is it? Not org. Is it dot org? Go ahead, Susan.
Is it
the overview.
Okay, so we are a nonprofit. We've been around for over 15 years, so we're certainly no fly-by-night company. We are dedicated to providing free educational resources that promote critical thinking, respectful discussion and debate, and also some thinking about social and moral choices that are going to help our students lead flourishing lives.
Could you send that to Vladimir Putin, please? Could you send that to Putin, please? Okay,
yes.
He could use some thoughtful education these days. Today's, he just sent some troops into Ukraine, to put this one into perspective. It's just nuts. He could use some help with, by the way, a good view of history, all right, instead of rewriting it as he goes along. That might be a nice thing to talk about, too, as well. It's
and
really great.
Understanding property rights, right? Like understanding property rights,
sovereignty,
boundaries.
Right.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's just really off the charts. Okay. Hopefully it'll die down as quickly as it started up over there in Ukraine. All right. Everything over there on Izzit is free. Dean, tell everybody what you do. And you get a little more involved, I think, with schools than Susan's on the kind of, I think this is right. Susan, I always think of more on the inside. I think of you more on the outside. Am I right?
You would say that's pretty accurate. There are exceptions on both ends. I was brought into, is it going 2 years in July from the New Hampshire Department of Ed. And my goal is what you said, it's making the connections at schools. But also, we're happy to say, we'll talk about it later on in the segment, but the civics fundamentals, I was a curriculum specialist.
Yep.
So I put together the syllabus for New Hampshire's Learn Everywhere. We're now accredited. And, Larry, we'll talk later but in this, but we're heading out to Utah, Nevada, because they did the Learn Everywhere with Commissioner Edelblue at Ed Innovation, and they're looking. So I'm writing the curriculum for that to be an accredited online program. So that's me. I try to do what's in my head, which sometimes isn't that easy, and come up with wacky, crazy, highly impactful student learning activities and resources, like the field trip and the unlock and beat the clock. And it's great because I get the idea, come to a team, say, here's what I'm thinking, here's how we'll do it, and they say, okay, let's make it work.
And you're good.
So
you're a good thinker.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yes. And by the way, I want to clear up something you just said. Okay. And if I understood this correctly, you dropped a name people may not know. So let me help here. Okay. Just so you understand, Frank Engelblatt is the Secretary of Education in New Hampshire. A lot of people don't know that. All right. I happen to know him. You know him certainly. That's where he used to work. Yeah. He's a good guy. Mm-hmm. And we got a nice article coming out on him, a Q&A. Probably very soon, okay, up on site, all right? It's really nice at ace-edu.org. I'll remember to send that to you, okay, when it's hot.
I appreciate that.
He's a good friend of yours. You'll enjoy it. And then I didn't even understand this part, so help me. Are you going out to the two states of Utah and Nevada to take the success that they've had in New Hampshire out there with Frank and just – say all that again so we can get it into perspective.
Okay, so in a nutshell, Frank Edelblue, the Commissioner of Ed, went out and did a workshop called Ed Innovation. He shared the Learn Everywhere. Part of that process, when I was in Rochester Schools as the ELO coordinator and worked with the Learn Everywhere program, it came full circle because now as the VP, I presented in front of the state board, and the Learn Everywhere is get credit anywhere, anytime through an arduous application process. Which is it passed? Frank went out and did that and then said, by the way, not only is there the Learn Everywhere, both of those states require civics like New Hampshire as a graduation requirement, but also the citizenship test. You got to meet this guy and his products. So he sent an email out Friday the 11th at like 7:14, and by 11, both commissioners had responded, and we have appointments in April in both Nevada and Utah. Which is great.
Nice.
He also shared that the Career Academy in New Hampshire was my idea in Rochester that Governor Sununu called out. So he's like, this guy can think of stuff. And that helped because Frank is a visionary, and I'll say that a million times. The idea is to just really do the unconventional. I think we worked well together because I hope that's what I brought. But think outside the box. How do we get to kids and how do we want them to or want to come to school and come up with, you know, instead of being tired of learning, what you got next? That's Frank's mantra, I think. I always kidded that we are the originators, never the imitators, and he kind of liked that. And I think that's a lot of things we're doing in New Hampshire and I'm doing here in Erie for Is It.
Right. That is great. And by the way, you're going out to Utah and Nevada, and they're two commissioners of education. They're state secretaries. They're chief state school officers, Sydney Dixon and Joni Hebert. They've both been on my show, and they are just wonderful ladies. And we've done some extra work with them. They are just great. Okay. And that's Utah and Nevada. Okay. I got to tell you. Okay. Back to this, and thank you for clearing that up, Dean. I appreciate it, and have a fun trip. Take your golf clubs. It is nice weather out there. Okay, in April, that's all. I will let you go on that one. All right. And make him take you, Susan. Is he taking you, Susan?
I don't know the first time, but I think of any follow-up meetings, I may be joining him out there to do some professional development for educators out there.
Just be like Putin and just get on a plane with him. He'll buy you a ticket.
There you go.
There you go. No problem. All right. Okay. Here we go. All right. You have some new stuff on site that I want to go over with you, Susan. I want you to do this. It's History Speaks. All right. You've got George Washington, Ben Franklin. Okay. And tell us what that is. All right. Let's hear the news about the new videos. Go.
These are really interesting, Larry. Something very different, right, from our normal stuff. We have two highly trained, very thoroughly read, immersed into their persona, historical interpreters, okay? So we have, and these guys also, they participated in the PBS series, A More or Less Perfect Union with Judge Ginsburg. So we have George Washington and we have Benjamin Franklin, and they are being interviewed by Judge Ginsburg and having a conversation with Judge Ginsburg. Yeah, it's two different videos. One is Washington, one is Franklin. They're two separate. But they're sitting down with Judge Ginsburg. They're talking a lot about the Constitutional Convention and the creation of the Constitution. But they also talk about a lot of other things. And some of the things, as I said, the whole point of this is these two gentlemen, these historical interpreters, are so immersed and so well-read and have read the primary documents and the journals by Franklin and Washington. And so they're kind of in there. And Judge even asks them about, you know, and they asked Judge actually about how has the republic that they set up for us doing today. So it's a really interesting conversation.
It's pretty much how it's going to be.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, Coach.
How has it evolved? So where Judge Ginsburg's saying, you know, the things that you went through, like the quote from Washington, it may not have been perfect, but it was better than nothing, than no government, or the AOC, the Articles of Confederation, what existed. And then the Washington effect, so you're from the future. What is it like? And, you know, we're still battling with party. You know, party affiliations, Madison, stay away from, and watching factions and all that. So it's really cool because instead of the teacher always being the voice in the classroom, I think any student pretty much from, I would say, fourth and fifth, that can understand this all the way through high school, they're so good at their job as these historical interpreters, it really, you're lost in time.
Yeah.
And what's cool about that is it's someone speaking. So instead of me being an expert on Washington, the expert on Washington is speaking to the students. I think that's a very powerful concept.
Yeah, and actually, going to what you said a few minutes ago, I can't remember which one of you said it, but this has to relate. This is key stuff these days. You know, the country, to be honest, is a little bit torn apart right now. All right? It's not in great shape. Mm-hmm. And you know, we are the United States, just in case everybody forgets that, but sometimes we do. All right, and either I'll ask Susan first. You can pass it to Dean if you would. Just talk about how this relates, what you're doing. Go into a little more detail. Relates, and Judge Ginsburg, Douglas Ginsburg, is a great spokesman for all this. Okay, how this relates to what's going on today in the United States, and I think it's very important to get that historical perspective. So I'll start with Susan on that one. Susan.
Yeah, well. Absolutely, Larry. Again, that's the whole thing. And, you know, Dean and I actually had we took a class at Harvard Grad School in the fall on youth participatory civics, you know, engagement and whatnot. And my whole point is how can you engage and how can you participate in what you do not even understand?
That's
you
right.
know, so By starting with these, and as Dean said, really fourth and fifth grades could utilize these new videos and start to build that basic understanding of civics and the way our government works and how we think. Because, again, as you pointed out, you know, we look around at the world around us right now. You know, you see in Canada, right, in Canada and the things that are going on there and how basically citizen rights have been stripped away.
Another point, too, Larry, would be what's great is here was our intent. I mean, Franklin was at everything, right? The Articles and the Constitution,
Declaration
of Independence.
Yeah, he was.
So
he was.
Here was our intent. And Washington's like, here's our intent. How did you get where you are, suppose, in the future, when our intent was compromise? And actually, I mean, could you imagine today, no matter what party you are, that they passed the Constitution on a handshake that we will put in a Bill of Rights? So –
That's
we have
right.
to trust that other side. And I'm thinking, is that not something our kids should hear? Shouldn't they say that a man's word, a woman's word, and the fact it was men at the time, that was their bond. We will do this if you do that. There was that onus on both parties, the Federalists and Anti-Federalists, to say, let's get this done for the betterment of the country. Do we have that today?
No.
And that's the question I would, as a critical thing, do we have that today? Show examples of, yes, we've come together on things, we're split on things. And they talk about what the heck happened without it being political. It's like, well, we did this, and then Judge Ginsburg's like, well, you know, amendments, there's only 27. And then watching the explain, well, it was difficult because it wasn't to be per fancy, just a whim, let's just a fleeting moment, let's change the Constitution, that it was put in place to be very difficult to do. And with 27, it actually amazed Washington, like, that's it? It's like, that's great.
Yeah.
That's what we wanted.
Yeah.
And students need to hear that it was made
that's
difficult
right.
So it wasn't a fleeting thought, fancy, or just a passing. It meant something for the betterment of the country. As you said, Larry, the United States.
Yeah, we're supposedly the United States. We better start acting like it again. It's just absolutely it's absolutely ridiculous that we don't. All right, I believe there are reasons for that, but that's another story. How long is each video? Dean, why don't you answer that one?
Roughly.
How they work.
Okay. In essence, each one of those could take up, it's a class time, and I would say within – I was going to say 45 minutes, but if you're doing a prelude or an introduction or, for example, I have a long block, right, 90 minutes or 75 sometimes. You have enough to introduce it, explain it, or you're in a lecture, you could use it over 2 days. And that's how I personally would use it. I would give some intro, show a bit of the clip, then stop and go over. I don't want to say lecture, stand a little bit. Have them work in groups. What is Washington saying? From the past, what is Judge Ginsburg saying that happened? Do you see a connection? What was missed? What was why? So in essence, a long answer to your question is it's about 45 to 50 minutes.
Yeah, they're
right?
Around 40 minutes.
45, 50 minutes. And the teacher has the ability to stop, pause, discuss, group work, and go on. I personally could see this as a two-class
I could see it for a week, for God's sakes. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, really. I mean, you could, this is the kind of thing you can use it, you can talk about it, you can watch it again immediately. Okay? And believe me, you will have a different perspective if you do that. And again, I want to say all these things are free over at izzit.org. IZZIT, izzit.org. All right? And it's free and you can tap into this. Okay? No tricks, no gimmicks, no nothing. They're doing this for you. All right? And it's just such key stuff. It is. And, you know, you just brought up something, Dean, that's really important, and I want you to talk about this, and that's student engagement. You know, it's not just let's watch a movie. You remember the old days, we used to show them a film strip. It's hysterical, okay? You know, when you think back on what we could do now versus what we did then, it's just unreal, all right? And talk about student engagement. All right, with your videos and all the things that you do over it, and that's a key thing these days. We've got to keep these kids engaged more now than ever, post COVID, et cetera. Go ahead, Dean, do that one.
I'll say that I'm old enough to have started in 1985 teaching, and I remember 2 or 3 years in, you'd see some of the teachers, and it was the famous joke of the teacher walks into the librarian or the media specialist says, "I need a video," and the librarian says, "About what?" And he goes, 40 minutes. So the idea is this isn't just to say it's a bookmark or a book holder. When you said all our stuff is free, that's true. We have funders that give us money, and we have certain things we have to do for them. That is make student fun, show us that it's impacting classrooms, and we get some great feedback from educators. And one of the things that I've done in my career, and I'm happy to say I've won a few awards along the way, make a student want to come to class? I want to make students come to class. So some of the things that we do to promote it, a lot of it, as Susan says, critical thinking. Just to take a second, our professional development, we've got a library of professional development topics. And I just shared this with the president because we're going to the board in June on our presentation. It's what's the number one PD that we have? We have an incredible hit of views of our critical thinking, how to do it. Because we talk about how we do it, but most people don't know how to teach it. So we try to get that discussion where – you just said the country's united, where people can actually say something and not feel ashamed to have an opinion. Because I get to argue that opinion in a civil fashion. I have respect for someone else, that civility. Our stuff's about teamwork, collaboration, critical thinking. And here's the thing, fun. Unlock and Beat the Clock's a 4 DVD set that we're going out in March. It's free. It's almost the escape room. They have a challenge with one of our products. The teacher can set up the clue. The kids go and find it, and they feel good because you're working as a group. It's the aha moment. It's collaborating. It's communicating, verbal, nonverbal. That's the stuff Kids just like, let me have some fun. I want to learn. Make me want to learn.
And it's about letting them get out of their chairs sometimes, too. And that's the beauty of this activity. Some kids are tactile learners. They do need to be moving around. You know,
absolutely.
When you think about the way our schools are set up, you know, here, go sit in a chair for 8 hours. That's not natural for any of us, not even adults, let alone kids.
Remember the old days, no talking. That makes sense.
No talking, no moving, no lecture.
It was a standard lecture. The last thing I'll say is when I sat in front of the state school board in New Hampshire for accreditation, I know them because I work for the state, and I was sharing some of the stuff, and one of the pieces was you want a civics program, and I want to make this so the bar is raised. What part of civics engagement is these students that take this four-credit course or someone that just wants to use their syllabus, they have to take a letter on a local or state level and write to their appropriate legislator, whether it be U.S., it's either Senator Shaheen or Hassan, or a state rep or senator or the newspaper, and you have to actually write it, snail mail, not an email. You actually have to, we get a copy of it, it's part of the assessment because we'll be taking 24 students, nice and tight to start, and they actually have to get involved. They have to write a letter. They have to research what is important to them. I did this, Larry, in 2002 in Connecticut because we had the new civics and I was the curriculum, but I got dumped with it. And we came up with this. And one of the boys, Ryan McLean, I think, he actually said, why don't we have a bus line from Summers into Enfield where the mall was? He actually got a bus line brought in.
Well,
wow.
When a student sees that their voice means something, and it was thought about anyway, but, I mean, it pushed the envelope. The point I'm making is you talked about student engagement. You can't get more engaged when it hits home. And you stand up and start to say, hey, this is important. It's funny because, you know, I just shared this with Susan. You'll drive down the street and you'll see a sticker on the back of the car. My kid plays lacrosse. My kid plays baseball. Where's my kid's student council president? Or engagement is engagement. Whether you're the captain of a sports team, or the captain of the honor society, or we got to get kids more involved to take a stand. What's important to you may not be important to me, but by God, get involved.
Absolutely. You're on fire today. Yeah, Mr. Graziano, you're on fire today. I got to tell you, this is good stuff. You are.
I'm in Erie today. So it's the energy here in Erie. Although tomorrow in Dover, Larry, it's going to be 65 degrees.
Are you driving? Are you driving back and forth between the two?
Yeah, I looked at the weather. Thank goodness, and it's just beautiful. So I drove down because the flight. Not that everyone needs to hear this, but it takes longer for me to wait 3 hours in Charlotte. I get closer here. I drive. I put my memo on the way home, and I come up with 44 ideas.
Yeah.
In the ride, and I come in and it's a brain dump. But I get fired because student engagement. And I'm very passionate about. I want the playing field equal for all kids, but I want to be able to have everyone have the same starting point. Everyone should have access to our stuff, and that's why I'm very proud of your logo is on our website, and it's not
Thank
cheap
you.
Talk. We are equity. The playing field for any district, any teacher, any parent, any homeschooler, they get our stuff for free, and they can use it the way they seem fit. And that isn't just student engagement. That is educator engagement.
Love it.
And you're not
going to
be – let me just make this point. We always hear the term under-resourced school, all right?
Yes.
And that's a terrible thing, okay? All schools should get the same, all right? But we hear that term all the time, and it's usually in lower socioeconomic neighborhoods, under-resourced school. All right, but when things are free, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. Okay, isit.org has great resources, and they are free. Teachers, okay, izzit.org. So no complaints. It's out there. There's other stuff too, but we're talking to our good friends at Izit today. Go check it out. Okay, and I want you to say something else, Dina. You mentioned it very quickly. I know what it is. We talked about it last show. If you go to isit.org and you scroll down just a little bit, you'll see what's new. And Dean mentioned this very quickly in passing. It's called Unlock and Beat the Clock. Nice little rhyme, Unlock and Beat the Clock, Classroom Challenge. And just very quickly, or not very quickly, just go over and just tell everybody what that is again. Just because you mentioned it, then it went quick. Yeah.
Sure. It's all this stuff's downloadable, streamable, but it's nice to have the DVD set because, as I said, everyone, technology cannot be relied upon, and you know, the Wi-Fi's down, and you'll run over and grab your DVD set. So while we send out a DVD set free, shipping and everything, it's your backup. I'm sure most schools and those that can afford them, because there's an equity piece that have smart boards and what have you, or the ability to Wi-Fi. It's a 4DD set, and the goal would be, or the idea in my mind, was to do like an escape classroom where we took like Professor Forgetful in the First Amendment. He forgot his materials to show how the First Amendment works. So we laid out with links where to get all the stuff, print it, download it, and we even gave suggestions on how a teacher could hide it in the classroom. And what it does is, I believe, not because it was in my head and we made it work, but I believe that it's a great way to share the First Amendment, but it's more importantly the kids, as Susan said, are out of their seats. The teacher is the sage on the stage or the guide on the side. They're the guide on the side here. They're walking around watching kids come together. They're watching kids think, look for the clues, talk about them. This is critical thinking. In all these mission statements I look at throughout the country when I did the NEAS, the accreditation business, critical thinking, student, you know, what are the expectations for student with critical thinking? Well, what are you doing for that? How are you making that really work in your classroom? So Unlock and Beat the Clock is a four-step. As you do the clues and you solve it, we even print it out and have certificates for the, you know, congratulations, Larry, you on the team of the First Amendment.
Thank you.
So they get that certificate. The teacher then does a very quick four-question, how did it go, what can we improve? Because that's another thing we have to do with our funders, how can we improve and make it even better? And that's who I am anyway. I'm constantly trying to be better at my craft. Then the teacher gets the next challenge.
Go ahead. Keep going.
That's the next challenge. So the four set, they could do once a month. They could do every other week. They could do four in a row. I would love to say that because we did it, I figure before like it's coming out March, but like before April break, instead of having the downtime, you could do that possibly Thursday, Friday when the kids are off the walls and they know the week's coming. You could do it before Memorial Day. You could do it when
Easter vacation.
Right. If I had sophomores, I might use it then when the juniors are taking the mandatory SAT and you're trying to find the PSAT or do something with the sophomores. These are great things just off the top of my head that make this really work for teachers. So they can't say there's a downtime or there's a lapse in the curriculum. We've had enough. And it's not any problem on the or fault of teachers. But what we just got through in 2 years, there is not just a student loss over the summer. There's a student loss from online learning. And it is no fault of the teachers, and I want that clear and clear. But these are activities that you've got a long block. What can I do for the last 30 minutes? You could start this process. They're just ways, Larry, the Unlock and Beat the Clock makes learning fun.
And Larry, teachers can still go to our website and to that Unlock and Beat the Clock page and sign up for this. As Dean had said, we actually spent, he and I yesterday, we boxed up 400 sets yesterday. We've got another 100 sets to go today. We're going to have at least 500. That batch of 500 is pretty well claimed. So, and we do have some above and beyond that, but the, you know, time is ticking and those numbers are dwindling. So,
and Larry,
all the more reason, I'm going to say it again. Wait a minute. All the more reason for teachers who are listening and your colleagues, I might add, you can share this, to go to isit.org. I mean, it's free, but some things are limited. Okay. They're free, but they're limited. Okay. Say it again, Dean. I'm sorry.
We went to the American Association of School Librarians in Salt Lake last year in October, we had 162 pre-register for the box sets for these. And we have limited numbers because, again, we're 501. We get funded. We have funding for, and Susan really hit the nail on the head. We have some left, and, again, you can do it online. You can do it on your smart board. The set is as a backup, I would say, because, technology is not as reliable. But that's just one thing that I thought of, and the president you met, Rob, just loved it. He said that and your field trip are genius. It really gets kids to want to learn.
Boy, that's a statement right there, isn't it? Get the kids to really want to learn. I like that. Okay? It's just, you know, how many teachers, Susan, how many teachers or schools, however you want to answer that, are you working with right now? Or on your list, whatever you however you want to phrase that, Susan, so they feel comfortable.
Well, again, as I said earlier, we've been around 15 years now, and over that 15-year period, we have had over 400,000 accounts created with us.
Thank you. Okay. That's a lot.
You know?
All right, this is a great. Yes, this is what you guys do. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It really and truly is amazing. I got to tell you, it's just astounding. All right, and also Susan, well, I got you. Just tell everybody, and actually go down the list if you want. Okay, what grades? We always talk about this, but we always have new listeners. What grade levels are we talking about? Let's do History Speaks first. History Speaks.
Okay. Well, again, on that one, I think we actually labeled it 6 through 12, grades 6 through 12, but I really do agree with Dean. Fourth and fifth graders can probably get something out of them. We do have other materials. Our Pups of Liberty are elementary. I've known teachers to use them in preschool just as, a casual introduction. Here's a cartoon, kids, about the founding of America. But I also know high school special education teachers who use the Pups of Liberty as well. And and normally our sweet spot is middle school to high school. That's where you'll find the bulk of our materials. But as I say, we have these wonderful Pups of Liberty, and we actually, teachers have been clamoring for more Pups of Liberty for years. And I'm happy to say that we're getting a new series of, we're calling them Pups of Liberty Short Tales, P-A-I-L-S, but it's also T-A-L-E-S. And this is a series using the Pups of Liberty, the actual, you know, founding folks, because we do have some, not just fathers, we have some female characters, but these characters are representing stories about virtues like persistence, like leadership, like justice for all. You know, I think when we do look around, we do see that virtues are something, boy, we kind of need to reinstill honesty and truthfulness and things like that. So that's something we're really excited. And again, soon, on our website soon, for our elementary folk, we're going to be having a special preview opportunity that they can sign up. And in March, we're going to do a preview of the first episode, and we're going to send out a packet of popcorn and some other treats from isit.org if they go and sign up for that as well. Like I said, that's not on the website yet. It will be soon.
That special preview, Larry, will also include, Susan and I might be suggesting, like, models, things that they could do for modeling, how we already know the virtues. So you'll get the pre-release, if you will, in March. But then September, October, November, and December, each month, we'll have a new virtue come out. So teachers can do a thematic monthly virtue, certainly at the early school or early grades. That makes a lot of sense because you can kind of show it.
Position that as part of social emotional learning. The virtuous life would certainly be that. That's key.
Yeah. We're going to create some other, I think, for the classroom to help with those virtues. Some ideas like posters and things of that nature, some discussion questions. So teachers have all these materials at their disposal.
It's so darn important. I'm going to end this. Okay, and I always like this because I like the guy and I like you guys as Judge Ginsburg. We talked about him. He hosted the History Speaks thing. And I just want to put Judge Ginsburg, if people don't know who he is, he's a federal judge. Okay, he was nominated for the U.S. Supreme Court. Politics got in the way, this was a bad decision by the politicians that were. I will just say it that way. It is a long time ago now. He's a good man. Great man, and he teaches civics fundamentals. All right, and what are you hearing from teachers on that stuff? You want to do that one? Yeah,
I will. Because the thing is, I just went to North Carolina to do professional development in Charlotte and Raleigh. I'm also set to do professional development for the Adult Learning Center of New Hampshire, the Adult Learning Center's summer conference. What we're hearing is it's much needed. Obviously, the one thing that I love, and I'll say this very quickly, is Judge Ginsburg narrates it. The IZIT team, in conjunction as a project, put together the discussion questions, the content, the guides, all that, vocabulary, flashcards. We gamified it. What's great is Judge Ginsburg has forgotten more about civics than most of us will ever learn, so that's the good news. Right. He spoke, and I got to interview him for the National Council of Social Studies. But what we're hearing from teachers is, and it's much needed. And what I love to hear is, and I use this in North Carolina, it's called civics fundamentals. Think about that. It's bipartisan. The government said these are 100 questions that, you know, if you're a citizen, you should know this stuff.
Yeah.
It isn't the Republicans. It isn't the Democrats. It isn't the Libertarians. It isn't this party, that party. These are 100 questions that you got to kind of know the basics. And 2 out of 3 Americans can't do it, Larry. So what they're hearing is,
yeah, I know.
Wow. He's a sitting judge, so he can't get paid for this. This is all his mission, his quest to say, you got to know this stuff, folks, because how can you be, as Susan said earlier, an active citizen if you don't know what you can and can't do, what the government can and can't do? And I, again, get passionate. It sounds great, but we're hearing great things because it's making it simple. What we're also hearing is states that are requiring it, and they're coming in droves. There are 18 that require the USCIS, the citizenship test. I made the prediction to our board last year. I say by 23 school year, 24, you're going to have 40. Because it isn't just a civics requirement. It's the civics part B. You also have to pass the citizenship test. Because that really tells me, are you learning anything in the class? And other statistics that we're from teachers.
Yeah. You said something a minute ago I didn't realize. Is Judge Ginsburg still on the bench? I thought he was retired.
Yeah.
He's still on the bench.
He's still a sitting judge, and he still teaches law school.
I didn't know that.
And I'll say this because it's recorded, Larry, and he's hearing it. I don't know how the guy has time. I got to speak with him last week. He's amazing. He's so full of energy. He's still a sitting judge. And the thing that's even more
important. Where is he in the system?
D.C. appellate. He's at the
D.C. appellate. That's heavy duty.
Well, that's, it sure is. And he'll call and say, what you working on? What you doing? It's like, I love it because he's like pushing me. And it's like, I'll send him the syllabus. I get the syllabus back from the teachers. Dude, this is fantastic. Why wouldn't everyone want to do it? I'm like, well, thank you, Larry. I like to pat myself and say it's a great syllabus. But at the end of the day, what we're hearing from the teachers is it fits a purpose because there's a statistic out there, and I wish I remember the actual place that did it, but 80% of teachers that do civics, and he brought this up at the Council of Social Studies, National Council, 80% do not feel comfortable teaching civics. As a department chair, former department chair, curriculum specialist, administrator for district, sometimes you cut an elective, you say you got civics, because now it's the state requirement, or it's something the board wanted, the school board. And at the end of the day, it's like, well, I've never done it, or I don't feel comfortable. This puts the teacher in the driver's seat. We have a syllabus we offer. Not that teachers aren't doing it right, but it makes them have the resources to say, I feel a little bit more comfortable versus I don't have time with my 3 other courses to go and research the stuff that's available, vetted, and is real. So we're hearing really good things about it. Would I love to have millions more jump on that are listening? Please do so. Go to civicsfundamentals.org. Again, civicsfundamentals.org.
Oh, yeah, right. Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
And take a look at it. And you know this, Larry, about me. Dean.Grazione.org. You see something that isn't there, you want to add, suggestion, comment, I love it, I hate it, what can we do? Get it to me. And as Larry will tell you, I will do everything in my to try and make that work for you and make it a better, better, better site. It's great now. Can we improve every day? Will we?
Everybody
every
can
day.
Improve. If you ever feel you can't improve, quit. Of course, you can improve.
Okay, absolutely.
Except in my case, there's no better podcast host than I am. So,
yeah, that's right.
There's no room for improvement. No room for improvement.
You're the best of the best, Larry. We'll leave it at that.
Thanks, pal. I appreciate it. To my 2-person fan club there. Thanks, guys. We got to go. Susan, you keep up the good work, okay? The lady from Erie, and drive carefully back. And you mentioned, and please do, Susan, and before Dean mentioned, he's driving back to Dover. That's Dover, New Hampshire, where he lives. Okay? I just want people didn't know you could be moving to some other Dover, England.
Yeah,
okay?
Absolutely.
Dover, New Hampshire. All right.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You guys, too. I love having you on the show. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Thanks much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Be good, guys. Bye. Okay, everybody, they're great, aren't they? From Erie, PA, all right, my home state, but exactly the diagonal side from Philadelphia, okay? All right, Dean Graziano and Susan Gable from IZZIT.org. Ain't no such thing as an under-resourced school if everything's free. So tap into some great stuff over there, isit.org, and check out what we do, too, where we're going to archive this show at ace-ed.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.